Alt NPR.
The following is an excerpt from Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, visit toeradio.org.
When people ask me what kind of music I like, mostly I reply that I like very strange music, very unusual music.
What kind of music do you like? Is a question no real music fan has an easy time of answering. But for French music promoter Francis Falsetto, the question is almost absurd.
Unusual music, shall I say. It can go from improvisation, jazz, special rock, and a lot of music from all over the world. It happens that I like to listen to sounds we are not familiar with, and there are a lot among them which are really gorgeous.
Falsetto's musical interests span space, time, genre, and geography. He was one of the first French promoters to bring the American rock band Sonic Youth to Europe in the early 1980s. He also manages the experimental musician Rise Chatham, organizing concerts that often feature over 100 live guitarists. And for the past two decades, he's been championing the music of Ethiopia, most famously as the editor of a series of CDs called Ethiopiques. There are now 21 volumes in the series, with more in development. For Falsetto, it all began in 1984, when he was at a party and someone put on a recording of the Ethiopian singer Mahmoud Ahmed's Ermela Mela.
Me and my friend were absolutely amazed what that is. Beautiful. So you look at the cover, you don't understand the spelling, the very strange design of the letters. And finally, you borrow the LP from him. And I made some cassettes. This was still the time of the cassettes. I made a few cassettes which I sent to a good friend of mine, music lovers. And by the next day, all of them called me back, said, Francis, what that? Where did you get it from? Have you more stuff like this? Where shall we find it?
When Falsetto hears something he really likes, he shares it with as many people as possible.
This is my basic sickness, if I can say. If I like something, I need to share it with people I like. When it comes to music, it's a bit ridiculous to write about it or to speak about it. Nothing is better than to expose it itself, you know, just listen to it. That's enough.
A few months after that party, Falsetto got on a plane.
I went to Ethiopia just to try to meet Mahmoud Ahmed, to invite him in Europe to perform. That's the way it has started.
That was 1984. Ethiopia was a famished, starving country. Well, that's the sense one got from the relentless TV coverage. But when Falsetto got off the plane, he found a very different Ethiopia.
I was very shocked by the way media, and especially TV, used to report and still report about this country. The first amazement is you arrive in Addis, land in Addis Ababa, you are 2,500 meters altitude. I mean, two-thirds of this large country, it's over 2,000 meters in altitude. You see, it is a very green country. So what is this desert? This shock drove me to dig into the general scope of Ethiopia, history, geography, etc., etc., not only the music, to understand the music and the context of the music, the society. Little by little, I have to understand the context of this beautiful music.
Falsetto has distilled everything he's learned about Ethiopia in the past two decades into the liner notes for his Ethiopique series. From them, one learns the history of modern Ethiopia and its music. From the last days of Emperor Haile Selassie's reign, through the Derg time, when the country was run by a military Stalinist regime, and to the present, which begins in 1991, when the country begins to move away from Stalinism. Ethiopiques mostly focuses on the music of the 1960s, a period Falsetto calls the golden era of Ethiopian music. A time when the nightclubs were overflowing and Addis was swinging. And while it is always dangerous to romanticize the past, there is no getting around the fact that a whole thriving musical scene was wiped out when the Stalinists seized power in 1974.
Imagine that during those 18 years, it's a continuous curfew, meaning no nightlife at all, plus censorship, things like that, intimidation, many musicians in jail or going in exile. It's enough for a music to be dead.
But it was never Falsetto's intention to celebrate something that was dead. He was more interested in resurrection.
Through this series, this music has a second life.
No one is reaping the benefits of this second life more than Mulatu Astatke, an Ethiopian musician who's managed to survive and work in every political era. During the Golden Age, he pioneered something he calls Ethio-Jazz.
My music was like what I call an Ethio-Jazz fusion kind of music.
Mulatu Astatke is somewhat of a fusion himself. In the 1950s, he was one of the first African students to study at what is now the Berklee School of Music. He's performed with Duke Ellington and other jazz luminaries, and during the Golden Era, he pioneered a sound that took from both the official big band music of the National Theater and military units, and from the music that was being played in the cosmopolitan international nightclubs of Addis.
My music have a different direction to both groups of music in the country. Mine was harmonically sophisticated. Bass line was different. And I used a lot of soloing also, using more jazzy solos fused with the 5 Ethiopian tone scales.
When I first discovered Mulatu and really started collecting whatever I could find, I kept thinking, wow, it'd be great to, like, you know, score a film with some of his existing stuff. It's just so visual in a way. It just kind of blew my mind, so I became a big fan. And then I started writing Broken Flowers, and I was listening again to a lot of Mulatu, and I just thought, you know, I gotta use this in the film.
That's the American film director Jim Jarmusch. He used Mulatu Astatke's music in the recent award-winning film Broken Flowers.
Dear Don, years ago I had a son, your son, no return address.
You have no idea who this is from?
No.
Congratulations, you're a father.
Most of the music from the film can be found on Ethiopique's Volume 4, which, thanks to the movie, is now the bestseller of the series. I spoke with Jarmusch about how this music made its way into his film.
It's a film that takes place kind of in America, generica suburbia. And I don't know how is this music going to work, but I was determined to kind of integrate it. And it actually led me to the idea of writing a character in the film that was of Ethiopian descent, that's played by Jeffrey Wright, that's sort of the second main character after Bill Murray in the film. So Mulatu, he kind of led me to connect some things in my writing, and then that facilitated me using his music in a way as a kind of score in the film. At least all the traveling music is very, you know, his music is the most important musical element in the film.
Jarmusch has a reputation for having a musician's sensibility. Indeed, he and Mulatu Astatke seem to share a similar creative process.
You take something, modify it, make it so beautiful, and back to you, it's different.
The movie has certainly put Mulatu Astatke in the spotlight. He's received tons of press coverage, and in November, he was invited to speak at the UN Summit on the Information Society in Tunis. He's also been touring America with a Boston-based jazz collective called the Either Orchestra, a band that's been performing its own interpretations of Ethiopian music ever since band leader Russ Gershon came across a CD compilation Francis Falsetto released in the mid-1990s.
The music was great. you know, was just killing stuff. And so that one just made it into heavy rotation in my CD player. After a couple of years of listening to it, I felt like I really knew those songs. And as I was looking for material for the Either Orchestra, one day it occurred to me, well, this is almost jazz already. We can play this. It's got great horn parts and strong melodies, rhythms that are the kinds of rhythms that I like playing with the band, you know, African rhythms. So we did, and it just took right off on us.
Gershon took three songs and modified them into something he called the Ethiopian Suite. It became a staple of the band's repertoire.
We started with these three tunes, Amlaka Betabet, Muzikawi Silt, and Fekera Aydelmoy, and because I couldn't pronounce those titles back then, we started calling it the Ethiopian Suite, and we would play them continuously, as one nonstop bit of music that would last 30 to 40 minutes. And the kind of the rhythmic relationships between the three songs made it into a really nice combination. And we would play it, you know, on the road in the Midwest, wherever we were, we'd play it. I remember playing it once in Charleston, West Virginia. And I remember playing it in Cleveland, Ohio, and all kinds of places like that. You know, in small towns in Iowa, these, you know, places where they certainly haven't been hearing Ethiopian music. People always just loved it. You know, there's something about the rhythms of it and the melodies and just the intensity that we put into it that made it kind of magnetic to people.
Eventually, Francis Falsetto got wind of the Either Orchestra, and using the internet, he tracked the ensemble down and invited them to perform at a jazz festival in Ethiopia.
You know, much to the surprise, I think, of a lot of people there who had probably heard that there was some kind of American band coming or whatever, had read their little festival booklet. But here we were playing Ethiopian songs, you know. So some people were, I think, mostly pleasantly surprised, but definitely surprised.
Russ Gershon and the Either Orchestra performed many of their arrangements with Ethiopian musicians, in some cases the very musicians they knew and loved from Falsetto's CDs.
One day we were sitting around Francis's hotel room and thinking about guests, and I said, well, we're doing Anchi Mandalela. I wonder if Bata Hawet is still around. He said, oh yeah, I've got his phone number, you know. And so we called him up, and Bata came down, and he had the time of his life. He hasn't sung in public in years and years. I don't think his son, who's grown up now, had ever heard him perform, and he was just very excited, and it was great.
The concert, of course, was recorded, and in late 2005, Falsetto released it as Ethiopiques Volume 20, bringing the story, at least for Russ Gershon and the Either Orchestra, full circle. The series continues, though. Volume 21 has just been released, and there are plans for many more. And while Francis Falsetto deserves a lot of the credit for this new global interest in Ethiopian music, there are some who feel Ethiopians themselves should be in charge of the music.
And most of the African governments, they don't look up to their cultures. That's their problem. Always they give priority for something else. Always tells you priority for that, priority for this, you know. So that's the real problem. Then a guy like Francis, a French guy, comes over and try to promote and show Ethiopian music to the world while we have everything to do ourselves. The government could have done better than one person. That's what I think. Not only Ethiopia, but the whole African government should do that. I don't know why they don't promote it themselves. I don't know why they try to promote their own artists, their own musicians, and show it to the world. Because, you know, Africa, I said, has contributed so much for the world music.
Ethiopians are very proud of their culture, but it can drive them sometimes to very strong nationalism, if not chauvinism sometimes, you see.
Francis Falsetto is well aware that his efforts are sometimes begrudgingly appreciated, and he also shares Mulatu Astatke's frustration with the Ethiopian government's lackluster support of its cultural assets. But in the end, Falsetto can't help but devote himself to sharing the beautiful music that he loves, and we are all benefiting from his efforts.
It would have been much more simple for me just to buy the series as it is, you see, definitely. But it happened that I could not see anybody taking care of it, so I went ahead, simply. But you know, there is a French saying who says, if you do something, you will get problem. If you do nothing, you will be cool.
You've been listening to an excerpt from Benjamin Walker's Theory of Everything. For more information, an audio archive, and a blog, visit toeradio.org. Also, visit the Public Radio Exchange, where the Theory of Everything got its start. You can too, at prx.org.
Alt.